everyone, and welcome to Project Insight's first Agile Methodology webinar. Thank you all for joining us today. The topic for today is the project manager's role in a lean and agile world. My name is Denise, and I'll be your moderator today. I'm on the marketing team here at Project Insight. I'd like to give a warm welcome to our presenter today, Dr. Dave Cornelius. How are
you
doing?
Thank you a lot, Denise.
Awesome. So with that said, I think I'll hand this over to you.
Thanks. Good deal. Well, welcome to the Knowledge Share with Dr. Dave webinar as well. This is Dr. Dave, your host, and with me today. So with me today is two friends, John Jorgensen. John, say hello to our audience.
Good morning, audience, and Dr. Dave.
Hey, Curtis, say hello.
Morning, Dave. Good morning, audience.
So just a brief background of John. John is an enterprise agile coach who uses values and practices from Lean, Scrum, Kanban, Six Sigma, TPS, blah, 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 to help teams of all sizes achieve groundbreaking results with resources on hand. So you can check out John at agilecoffee.com or agilehyperdrive.com. Follow him on Twitter at waterscrumbon. So Curtis also is an agile PM consultant with Molina Healthcare and has been in the PM space and the agile space as well. So I just wanted to make sure to let you guys know that we have some friends on hand and we're going to have some fun with it today.
Super. I see, yeah, a lot of folks out there. Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, so our topics today will include the traditional and agile organization role definition, the roles available in small organization for a PM if they want to transition into the agile space, the role available in large organization as you transition into the agile workspace, also charting your own course, because I believe that we could do that on our own without people defining that for us, and we'll look at some characteristics of the lean and agile PM, and then we'll have some time for some Q&A as well. So at the conclusion of our presentation, we want to make sure that you're able to discern your project management and PM role in terms of transforming into the agile space. We want to make sure that we acquire some knowledge so we could play a role in the lean and agile space as a change agent. And I believe that we should become a valued contributor as we look at opportunities in the scale agile framework called SAFe, an enterprise agile space that we could play in. Traditionally, the Project Management Institute, their position is that the project managers they're organized, they're passionate, they're goal-oriented. They understand what projects have in common and what is the strategic role in the organization and how they succeed, learn, and change. So they look at project managers as change agents. I mean, what's your context, Curtis, in terms of a PM in reference to PMI?
I mean, I think that that's pretty spot on. The reality of it is a project manager is a change agent. In fact, that's what draws most project managers to that line of work, I think. The fact that they can make a difference in a very systematic way, in a strategic way, in a timely way, unlike, you know, day-to-day operations. But it is, in fact, I mean, very much, you know, the change agent of the organization. They're the ones that are given the job to get things done.
Awesome. So also, we have another player in this, in terms of the Scrum Alliance, and that organization look at the project manager's role in the traditional Scrum space, you know, is undefined. So you have roles like a Scrum Master who removes impediments and support the Scrum process. We have a product owner who represents the customer and provides a prioritized backlog of work for the teams to do. And then you have the Scrum team who's involved with designing, building, and testing a product or service that provides a value, a high-quality value to customer. So, John, where do you see the PM falling into this opportunity? I mean, what's your context on this?
Yeah, I think in the Scrum paradigm, it's intended to be a small team. And so, traditionally, you wouldn't see a project manager role inside of a Scrum team. But I think that the context in which most Scrum teams are operating today is actually much larger than one single small team. And so realistically in practice, you do see project managers working with Scrum teams.
Thanks, John. Mm-hmm. Our third player is called the Scale Agile Framework or the Scale Agile Academy or SAFe. They have a position as well, and their position is The project managers are just release trained engineers. Their responsibility is really involved with integrating the various teams that you have involved with their big picture. And so they're focused on really the reduction of impediments. And it's really an interesting context that the PM has the most opportunities in the safe world versus an environment like Scrum. I would want to reach out to our audience and just ask this question. What should a project manager do? Should they quit their jobs, his or her job, change profession, join the rodeo, or find a suitable role in the Agile and Lean world? Denise will be polling, and so you guys can get back to us. And so what do you guys think? What should the project manager do, Curtis and John?
I'll go first. I'm actually quite attracted to rodeos, so this makes for a very difficult decision for me. I have not yet received my training as rodeo clown, but I'm close. I think it's an individual thing, really. Anything presented here is legitimate and I think worthwhile. Especially, I'm seeing the change management professional or change professional as something that over a long span, like let's say the next 10 to 20 years, is what I believe will be a persistent role in organizations because change is accelerating and becoming so pervasive these days. For me, I think that's kind of how I would recast myself.
Curtis?
I think, you know, as a project manager, you've got to kind of recast yourself. Look how you've been running your projects. I mean, I think, you know, there's certainly a stigma to a lot of project managers, the notion they're stodgy and the infamous conversation around waterfall and that very rigid framework. The project manager that I think over the years of experience has recognized that it is being nimble, it is being emotionally intelligent, it is really understanding how to guide change. That is very well suited inside of an agile world. So I think retooling yourself is pretty much a doable thing. That's what I've done over the years, because I actually just see Agile as a smarter way to do things, not just another way to do things. So I would not join the rodeo because I still like the profession. I'll send you a postcard, John.
I'll still keep going without you, but yeah.
So that's what I would do, and that's how I would go about it.
Amazing. Amazing. So I see that there are quite a few responses out there. I think most of you think that we should find a suitable role in the Agile and Lean world. That's awesome, because that's exactly what we should do. We should reinvent ourselves.
I think what this is showing us, you know, response-wise, is that everyone is really thinking of the here and now. And,
yeah.
And it's clear that Agile is not just growing, it's arrived. And there are opportunities out there right now in Agile roles for people.
That's certainly the case. And so let's take a look at it as agility in a small organization. So if you have, maybe let's call it like you only have maybe 3 to 5 teams. So there's a limited role, potentially, where the project manager himself could be a Scrum Master, where they're continuing to facilitate the team, continue to make sure that any of the roadblocks that the team members run into, that they could help to remove those and really move them into the Scrum process, where the process allows them to work more collaboratively, allows them to really respond to change, have a much better relationship with the customer versus spending most of their time trying to figure out requirements and spending a long period of time of not getting driving value immediately. But they also have the opportunity to be a product owner, that they could walk into that space and be a domain expert. Also, you know, look, we don't, if you just come to the point where you said, look, I really want to be an individual contributor in the sense that I could just be a tester or I have the technical skills, that's certainly an opportunity that you could transition into. And there's certainly more roles, but talk to me, John. Talk to me, Curtis, in terms of what's your thoughts on this?
Hey, John, let me take this one on first for a second.
You bet.
You know, we've actually got this very thing going on at the company that I'm contracting at. And they have been making the transformation to Agile. And as anybody who's been in that world of transition knows, it can be an interesting process. And there's been a lot of debate about what to do with the folks that have the title project manager. Are they Scrum Masters? Are they product owners? And I think what's happening is the conversation is lending itself to, if you perhaps maybe have more of a technical bent, architecture, really kind of a technical project manager, so to speak, then the route would be the Scrum Master. If you have more of a product background, say the business processes, then it'd be better to contemplate going the role of the product owner. So you really kind of have two options, and I think I'm seeing that happen and being done. I think it's a smart way because it's a good fit in either case, and I think that what I'm seeing them do as far as an approach is probably one of the smarter approaches that I've seen and heard for a while.
Thanks for the contribution. John, anything to weigh in on this in terms of your experience?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I don't necessarily look to fit into an existing traditional Agile role. And what I mean by that is that I see project managers as being people leaders. And goodness knows, this world still has need of good leaders. So if you already have a role as project manager or just some line function manager, whatever it might be, maybe changing the title isn't so important, but adapting your practices to leading people, optimizing the organization, perhaps it's through value stream mapping, or being somebody who's like a positivity coach, whole other field, or really enrolling people in changing both the organization and the culture itself, so culture design. There's actually a lot of needs inside of an organization with five teams that you could serve inside of a manager role, but it working in completely different ways than you've been working so far.
Awesome, John. But let's take a look at what happens if, as we go through, there's additional roles. And I know that I just threw this in there to make sure that we understand that there's also opportunities to work in other parts of the organization. So as a business project manager, right, you could be a change agent for business initiatives. You could even get into the portfolio management side if you have that level of experience where you're helping to prioritize business goals. And also, sometimes we forget, and I think, Curtis, you brought this up, that if you have a technology bent, you could really get into the supporting the IT operations as well. So I see that beyond just the traditional Scrum roles, there's still a broader organization that you could tap into and leverage those great skills that you've learned as a project manager. Because I really believe that as we went through our PMP training, that we received incredible skills that even when I was working on my MBA, I said, wow, this is amazing. I think I learned a lot of this stuff going through PMP training.
Just a quick note there, you know, Dave, worked with executives, people that normally are forming the work items. In this case, you know, we could call them epics at the portfolio level. And you'd really be surprised if that's not your normal domain or scope of activity, how back of the napkin some of these business ideas are that are stemming directly off the vision. And so, you know, somebody who's specializing in taking back of the napkin kind of notes and making them consumable to large groups of teams, it's a skill, it's an art, and it requires a very high level of trust with the people who are at the highest level in the organization making the decisions that are going to impact large spans of time and huge chunks of effort. So definitely a strong need in the enterprise in that area.
For sure. So one thing we want to reach out to our audience is, you know, what roles can a project manager assume? We're just prompting you to see exactly, you know, what do you think? We're provided a few options, and perhaps, you know, you guys could weigh in and tell us, you know, what roles can a project manager assume, whether it's a small organization, and see where they fit in.
I think a lot of the answers that are coming in are G, all the above. There's a scrum master. There's also a product owner and portfolio manager. But most of them, I would say, is G. Correct answer?
Yeah, that's perfect.
I guess that's really encouraging. Because I think that, you know, you need to actually look at the situation that you're in and say, how can I be of service to my organization? And simply adapt, build a gap.
Certainly. So let's move along. Agility in large organization. So what we find, there are a lot more roles that you can play. You have a lot of more complex opportunities to facilitate, you know, value-driven outcome. As you have large organizations, you have certainly more integrations between teams, and the effect of failure could be much greater. I want to take a look at one more, at the big picture that's created by the Scale Agile framework. As you can see, this is a representation of the complexity of what large organizations look like. You generally have a big portfolio area where a lot of decisions are being made, and all of the priorities for the organization are driven from that standpoint. You have a program team that certainly sits in the middle. They're involved for line management type activities to make sure the work and the communication between upper management and the teams are taking place. But also you have the team level, who is really responsible for designing, building, and testing those value-driven outcome. And I know what we call the big picture could be a bit daunting. This is something that was created by Dean Leffingwell back in 2008. A lot of companies are looking at this as an opportunity or an option to go forward and do agility at scale. So I would like to take a look at the roles in terms of what are the options that you may have to participate in agile at scale. Before that, I'd like to just talk about some basic attributes. So one of the things that we found with the SAFE framework is that, you know, one of the key things is customer engagement. We want to make sure that there's alignment between all members of the organization. It provides enterprise agility, where people could be agile at their portfolio level, the program level, and the team level. We have transparent behaviors because we're constantly in communication with each other. Change. You know, the great thing is that we could respond to change with this model quite easily because we're constantly having engagement and discussions. Even the teams at the team level, they're talking, sharing each day. One of the key things that we've found is like there's an improved time to market. I currently work in a SAFE environment. I know, John, you have had some experience working in a SAFE environment. What do you think about these attributes and your experience in terms of achieving these objectives?
Yeah, so I totally agree that these are the SAFE attributes and that any organization would want to have them. You know, as complex as this big picture is, and this is probably 3.0, I would guess.
It is 3.0.
The enterprise on an individual level can select which pieces it wants to use or not out of this big picture. So, you know, after implementing it and seeing how it works for the organization, then adapting it, fine-tuning it to be something that really fits and doesn't have waste but isn't also, like, you know, too minimalized, that balance or crafting the framework to meet the enterprise needs is what it's all about. And so, you know, it'll look different from one enterprise to the next. That's been my experience, and I think the level of engagement that it makes happen, I see number 6, team engagement there, that's really what you want to focus on, because engagement is so lacking today in corporations. I think it's like below 50% of all employees really feel engaged in what they're working on. Fabulous way of looking at what it brings to organizations or what they can optimize for.
To me, transparent behaviors is really key for members of the organization. It's nothing like meeting someone on your team and they have no clue as to what's going on. So let's look at the roles that you could play as a project manager. A lot of different roles, because if on the portfolio level, you could get engaged and support And I think the key things that stood out for me on the portfolio level is the Lean Agile Leaders, where I think you could become experts in the framework, experts in Lean, experts in agility, and be able to be an advocate for this practice within the organization. But also looking at the program level, there's multiple opportunities where you can still get involved in the technology side, product management, working with system teams, and one of the key roles that we talk about is this RTE, which is the Release Train Engineer, which is a Uber Scrum Master who really builds relationship across the organization. And we still have things like DevOps, and that's a new buzzword that's out here today. And for most of us, it's just IT operations, for lack of a better term. And, you know, UI, UX, we're speaking about user experience, and so people who design screens and system architects. But also on the team level, we still get back to the product owner, Scrum Master, developer, tester. Do you guys see any other roles that you could throw in there?
I got something.
Go on, Curtis.
Yeah, so one thing that I think, and then I'm listening to conversation and looking at the model, and I think the one thing that I don't see actually shown here is anything about the communication. I do see transparent behaviors, team engagement. And I think for something on the par with the idea of a scaled agile framework, it's really, in my opinion, not a whole lot different than an existing organization. And what I'm referring to is I see most often the bigger issue is the communication channels. You can have a lot of very powerful, positive activity, but if it doesn't flow through the organization, people understand what they're doing, why they're doing it, and what is affected by what they're doing, you know, a lot of this can just still be subject to pockets of success and be hampered by the same sort of things that hamper current organizations. So, you know, I think that one thing that I think is either not being talked enough about is the fact that the communication strategies and the range horizontally and vertically are just paramount in order for this whole thing to really have any legs to stand on and be successful. It's another framework and it has those same important needs as far as the characteristics of success at the enterprise level, but it starts with the communication all the way throughout the whole organization. So I think that's one thing I would add that I don't see spelled out that way. Perhaps it's embedded in there, but I think that that's definitely got to be there.
And just to let you know, one of the fun things of working in this environment is that the thing that we talked about is being transparent within the enterprise is that once a quarter, everyone gets together and have a big chatty chat about what the objectives are. And in my organization, once a month, we get together and we do a validation check. But as you go through the whole Scrum process, you know, people are meeting daily as a daily stand-up. At the end of every sprint, every 2 weeks, people are still talking, what did we build, and what was successful. They have retrospectives. There's a lot of communication that's happening within here that's not really mapped out in this big picture. But the item is number four, transparent behaviors. I think that's a key important aspect. And I do concur with you, Curtis, that, you know, communication and transparent behaviors is really paramount, you know, throughout the organization. For that to work. Anything to weigh in, John?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, Agile Coach is a role that I think provides some of that, you know, carryover from, say, one release train to another, or is actually a change management professional, knows how to get from the practices that we've been doing that have been successful in the past to the practices that are going to get us to where we want to be in the future. So, you know, a project manager who wants to kind of redefine their scope of activity and maybe look at, you know, how they can support this entire infrastructure, Agile Coach or Change Coach is, I think, another option.
Yes, certainly. Those are very valid options that we could take a look at. But let's harass the, well, not harass. Let's ask our members to weigh in. What safe roles can a project manager assume? Could it be a Scrum Master, product owner, tester? release train engineer, or all of the above? We'll spend a few minutes just talking about that. So anything else do you want to add in terms of roles that the project manager can assume within the SAFE environment?
You know, just one thing, I guess, you know, with recently the loss of David Bowie, he's a good example of an entertainer that was constantly reinventing themselves. And I think as professionals in software development, product development, or just working in the enterprise, we really should be thinking all the time in our career, how can we change the way that we work? How can we change our professional persona to be something that offers even larger contribution of value to our organization and its customers? And times are going to keep on changing. Let's keep on adapting to, you know, what the moment calls for.
Oh, without a doubt, John. I mean, we need to find different ways to look at the opportunity throughout the organization, because I think there are many. And sometimes, because of our orientation, we think that the only option that's available is what's directly in front of us. But I think there are greater opportunities for the PM to take on different roles within the organization. And, you know, the next thing, and it's a great segue, because we want to talk about creating your own role. I think that's an important aspect of taking ownership and responsibility for your own career. It's really not up to someone else to do that for you, but it's really up to you, the individual, to chart your own course. And I think that's just one of those American ways that we've always been, right, in terms of making that determination of where we go next. So let's move on. So it looks like most of you think that all of the above E was the right answer, and certainly E is the right answer, but either one of those options are valid. Now, I think that the project manager, because of the great skills and training that we've received, gives us the opportunity to look at financial management, stakeholder management, risk management. There's so many other opportunities that we could pursue as a PM throughout the organization, and especially when you're working on large projects. There's so many other things that you can do to make sure that your deliverables are successful and they're value-driven. I think we have to think big. Oftentimes, we think only within the context of what people define for us, and we have to look at the art of possibilities. What options do we have, and what options that we should pursue? I think of becoming a lean and agile catalyst is just one of those amazing contexts where you could learn so much about people and how we could get them and lead them to also become leaders and also for them to become change agents. Curtis, John, weigh in on this. You know, where are you guys in terms of like rolling your own role as a PM?
I'll go ahead first. You know, actually, I think that, you know, we talk about the art of possibility. When I was just becoming a Scrum Master, it was really my career strategy to be a lateral thinker. And by that I mean coming from a completely different direction than maybe the team that I'm working with happens to be stuck in at the moment. And whether my ideas are adopted by the team or not is not nearly as important to me as if I can spark just new ideas from the team and encourage them to just take a small leap of faith, maybe a baby step of courage forward, and keep stumbling forward with that, then value is inevitable. Value will be created. And so I think, you know, as a lean leader, Dean Leffingwell has said, this means that we're lifelong learners. And so thinking in completely different ways, in new directions, as a way to catalyze people to do the same, is a huge value create for the people that you interact with in the organization at any level. I encourage anybody to start to reimagine their role in the universe, or reimagine your role in your work and how you can evolve it, and make a lifelong commitment to learning. It's definitely worth it. The rewards are great.
It certainly is, John. Curtis, anything?
I think, you know, focus on Agile. I mean, I think the idea behind just engagement has really always been something of personal interest, but a lot of interest even outside of the Agile community in concepts like gamification. And there was some discussion earlier about and commentary about just engagement. That's a real core to any organization. It's even all the more important in an organization that practices Agile where they talk to each other every day, or at least in principle they do. So I think the other added element here is to perpetually be looking at how to be more emotionally intelligent about an organization, how to really tune into the subtleties of the team dynamics, the characteristics of an organization, and what hampers them or what helps them in the context of just individual performance and group performance. And, you know, that too is another topic area that, irrespective of the role that you play, I think we'd all be served well to focus on those specific areas to promote engagement, to promote the team element, and then also to promote the satisfaction that people get from personal achievement. So I think in a summary context, looking at the whole landscape, but then stopping and looking at the individual people and remembering that irrespective of what systems, what processes, what methodologies you use, you're still working with people. And do you know how to reach them? Do you know how to gauge where they are? Are they in the game? Are they out of the game? What's going on in their heads? That's the other dimension for all of this work, irrespective of role. And that's, again, the focus on the people at a very personal level, and think about it in terms of engagement and promoting team and personal satisfaction, I think, in the job.
Awesome. So I want to reach out to the audience and see, you know, submit your roles that you think you can do within your organization. The whole context of being able to create your own role may be something new for most people, because we often do not think that we can do that. But the reality is, sometimes our managers, our leaders in our organization, we go, wow, way to think out of the box, Curtis. Way to think out of the box, John. And I think you should just think about that as, what's next for you? How about submitting a single role that you think you could play that would maybe be really interesting to you? Let's spend some time doing that, Denise.
Okay, we have a few answers here, actually. There's a quality manager, business manager, a mentor, analyst, central change delivery role, subject matter expert, technical manager. Just a few of the answers coming in right now.
Oh, those are excellent answers. I mean, I said be creative in this process. You know, take charge of your career, build something new. But those are great responses. Let's look at the characteristics of the Lean and Agile PM. And this is something that I've been working on in terms of, you know, the behaviors that we sometimes demonstrate or can demonstrate within the Lean and as a Lean and Agile project manager. What is a strategic PM? A PM is always thinking about, well, how do we enable future innovation? How do we engage the team so that they're thinking a little bit out of the box? How do we help to align the organization such that portfolio, program, teams are all working together? The leaders, their vision and their goals are being channeled throughout the organization. But also even looking at the team members, the people who are building things within the organization or keeping the flow going within the organization, that they too can provide some strategic direction for the business. So any thoughts, Curtis, John, on this as participating as a strategic PM in the Lean and Agile space?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think this is an individual that is very finely and closely attuned to what the corporate strategy would be, and, you know, the values that their entire organization possesses, and is capable of harnessing the informal leaders in an organization, harnessing their vision and engagement towards delivering a very long pipeline of products or product features. And so, someone that can articulate that well to large, diverse groups of people is what this person would probably be strong in. So, definitely necessary to the enterprise.
That's awesome. But the other characteristics that a project manager could take on or demonstrate is that being a leading PM, where they're charting the future, they're anticipating and preventing problems, they also are highly engaged to make sure that they can lead and indicate, where organizational change is needed. One great thing is bringing cross-functional teams together under dependencies, that sometimes we just miss those. It's like, oops, we're at the very end, and there we go, unable to deliver some value because we missed that. And so I think a leading PM essentially have their finger in the pulse and provide that information. What do you got to say, Curtis?
I like the way you frame that, Dave, because I think when I'm reading the leading PM, that really strikes me as being somebody who's more of a kind of consulting speak. They're a trusted advisor.
There you go.
This is the person that, you're handing the keys to drive the bus. They clearly have to understand your organization, have strong relationships, and, of course, at the end, know the business. That's where you get, I think, also the trusted advisor status. So I think absolutely a leading PM, very nicely framed. I think that's a nice way of calling out the fact that this is these are your trusted advisors to participate in charting the course and then executing and then having deep relationships across the organization. High trust factor on that particular role.
Excellent.
Quick thought on that one, Dave. You've listed that they lead and they lead organizational change. This is a really big one because, when we talk about an agile organization, we're talking about one that's not matrixed, but that has persistent teams. And that is such a fundamental change that it's going to take a trusted advisor that has a lot of clout with the people that can actually implement a switch from matrixed to permanent teams or semi-permanent teams. And so they're going to need to build a business case for that, to say, we're going to switch and maybe optimize in the future, but having groups of maybe 5 to 9 people that we bring work to them, we don't take the people to the work, so to speak. Really important function, and it takes somebody that's persuasive, that is trusted in the highest echelons of the org.
I think one part that we should think about is risk, and to be able to for risk mitigation as a leading PM, they'll be able to put on the appropriate lens to be able to see forward and look at things that may really derail the value that you deliver to the organization. And I think risk is one of those elements that we often missed. The last characteristic is, which is a common practice in most PM, which I call is a lagging PM. And so they explain the path through metrics. And they look at metrics in the form that, how many things were delivered? How many money was spent? And mainly that's their focus. They also, dealing with things that come up with the teams, any kind of challenges, it's always responding with some type of corrective action as opposed to getting ahead of the parade and make sure that they understand what's going on. What do you guys think? Where are you guys at with that?
I just think, if you're a leader in the organization, there's something called leadership storytelling where you're helping people imagine a future for the organization based on the past. And when you do that, you want to be really careful that you don't invalidate the story so far, because that's what got you here. And there's a lot of people in the organization still that created that past story. So working with them is an important thing. However, I think as you're pointing out with the lagging PM, we don't want to be obsessed with the past and recreating the past. Leading forward without invalidating what's gone on before is important too.
Certainly, John. So let's summarize what we've discussed so far. The project managers can assume one of the Scrum roles where they're a Scrum Master who removes impediments and support the Scrum process. They are a product owner where they're a representative for the customer and provides prioritized work for the team. They could also be a Scrum team member where they're involved with designing, building, and testing a quality deliverable for the customer. One of the key things is the project managers could also work within the Scale Agile framework or SAFe and Agile at the enterprise level, where they could perform in multiple roles of their choice. My favorite is that the project managers could create your own role. Is that one of your favorite, Curtis?
I think most everybody would like to create their own role.
It certainly would. What about you, John?
Yeah, I think, you know, being self-expressed is gratifying, and contributing real value to a group is gratifying. So this should be really good news to people who've been looking to do that for a long time.
Certainly. And also, we just looked at some of the Lean and Agile PM characteristics, where you could be strategic, you could be leading, or lagging. And yeah, being either strategic or leading is pretty much the ideal role that you could assume. And certainly being able to tell great stories. Which one would you guys pick?
I like the leading PM role. In fact, I think just, you know, most of my years have been in the role of a consultant. It's a very rewarding role. You know, you have a vested interest in the success of your company, your team. I think that in itself, just making the work more rewarding is a pretty substantial thing, and in that capacity, that's what I strive to be. So, irrespective of the particular assignment, is to show up and think about the success of the people I'm there to serve, and that's what comes to me.
How about you, John?
Yeah, much like Curtis, my roots are in that leading PM role, and you know, more and more recently, I'm seeing that there's an opportunity for me to contribute in the strategic area. You know, it's a part of the business that really needs attention and constant effort, some vigilance. And the good news is that there's so many cutting-edge practices that are emerging today that can eliminate waste and focus on maximizing value that enterprise produces. I think I'm going to be involved in that much more intensively moving forward, so I'm excited about that.
Well, thank you so much. One thing, I wanted to leave some time for our audience, and so just for a Q&A, you know, is there anything that was presented that we can clarify for you? Because John is here, Curtis is here, and so am I. And answers at any of your questions. Perhaps we could spend a minute or two. And if we can't get to your questions, one of the things that we will do is when you come back to our next podcast, we will certainly make sure that we have some responses for you. Go on and Denise, maybe you could facilitate getting a few questions in, and we could probably spend a few minutes doing that.
What questions? Sure thing. So we have this first question from Debbie, who would like to know, how does a Scrum Master differ from a project manager as project managers remove impediments?
Which one wants to take that?
I guess I could. I would say that a Scrum Master is going to be holding themselves accountable to the team in very specific short time frames, and by this I mean when I was a Scrum Master, if the team identifies an impediment, usually it's inside of a sprint, maybe at a daily Scrum, and I would list that in a big visible spot that under, you know, under my name, that the day and time that I got an impediment, and so the team knows that that's what I'm working on. And I'm not necessarily looking to be the person that ultimately resolves it, but finds the person that can and confirms that it gets closed out in like maybe a matter of hours or a few days. Thereby, it doesn't have an impact on my team's ability to move forward. I would say that the way that that contrasts with the project manager is, when there is an impediment in a traditional project, usually I think what happens is the team works around it, and sometimes even we accept it as a new constraint to a project. And in Agile, that's just, it's not going to work. It could completely derail an entire sprint. So. Yeah, the tactical approach, I think, is what might be a differentiator there.
Okay, yeah, and really, since we're dealing with a project manager and a scrum master, we're dealing with two different paradigms in the context that we're trying to resolve things within a short period of time. The reality is that when there's an impediment, generally, according as John said, within a sprint, within 2 weeks, we need to get that done. You know, that impediment should not extend beyond that period of time. That's pretty much part of the relationship of the difference between sometimes a scrum master in terms of removing impediment and a project manager. Oftentimes, it ends up on a risk register, and that could fester for months. Let's move on to the next question. I hope we answered that succinctly enough for you.
Awesome. Thank you. The next question is, why are portfolio and program manager roles needed in an organization that is following complete Agile? And there's a second part. On the other hand, if there is no need for project managers, will there be a need for portfolio or program managers?
You know, I can start with that, with the response to that question. If you think of a complete Agile organization, one of the things that never goes away is that customer demands are always there. You will always have market competition. You will also always have governmental regulations. You will have opportunities and threats. So who prioritizes those work at the highest level in terms of what do we invest in? You know, so that's a question that I always put back to people who think that because we're dealing with an agile organization that the business aspect of it goes away. The reality is, the business aspect of it is even more important, such that we prioritize the highest value work, and that's what Agile is about. We prioritize the highest value work to make sure that our organization can thrive and our customers can receive the greatest value. In a large organization, especially when we're looking at agility at scale, the teams, you want the teams to focus on the things that they're good at. They're focused on building good stuff. We do not want to interrupt them all the time with, oh, geez, let's focus on another release mechanism. Or if you have a major platform where you have multiple systems that need to integrate, well, who on the team will do that? Because if you take away cycles from someone who's writing code or someone who's building a product, then really shifting time away from the value that they can create. So that's one of the reasons why within the safe environment you may have these different boundaries, because someone needs to take care of that work. It's not going to get done by itself. And if we have to deviate, use that time up for a developer, a tester, or someone else on the team to do that, then they're not creating the immediate value that's needed and what they're really chartered to do. Anything from you, John or Curtis?
I was just going to say, you know, whether there are hierarchical tiers such as program or value stream or portfolio level to an organization really depends on the scale of the organization and, you know, maybe the diversity of technology used in the products or services the organization delivers to the market. And so while it certainly could be the case that just one Scrum team is enough for a very large enterprise, I would say that that is only one scenario where large scenarios usually involve more than one Scrum team. And if there's interdependencies between teams, now the additional layers of hierarchy become a necessity so that they work in tandem rather than working at odds with each other. And so whether we're really talking about some well-known brand of enterprise level Agile such as SAFe, or whether it's LESS or DAD, Disciplined Agile Delivery, or Nexus, all of these frameworks are similar approaches to the same challenge and opportunity, which is let's have maximum effort applied to solving difficult problems in shorter spans of time with less waste and much more value.
Thank you, John. So I think we're pretty much at time. We have about 2 minutes left. And so if you want to learn more about the services provided by KnowledgeShare, you can go to knowledgeshare.org, where we're focused on leadership, agility, training, concept to cash. Also, in terms of Five Sanities, this is one of our education programs. You can reach out and go to five5saturdays.org. If you want to listen to a podcast and listen to industry experts and business and technology experts, you can go to www.grokshare.com and listen to the KnowledgeShare with Dr. Dave podcast. You can also find us on iTunes and Google Play. Visit us on www.knowledgeshare.org or send us an email at customercare@knowledgeshare.org, or you can connect with us on Twitter at KnowledgeShare. We look forward to seeing you next month, and so get out there and register. Register for next month. Next month is going to be exciting. We're talking about transforming your leadership character with lean thinking and agility. This is Thursday, April 21st, 2016, at the same time of 8 a.m. through 9 a.m. You know, with this program, you have the great opportunities to earn some PDUs. But one thing I wanted to tell you is that if you are a CSM, a Certified Scrum Master, or a Certified Scrum Professional, you could also take one SEUs, a Scrum Educational Unit. I thank you guys and have a great morning.
Thank you.
Awesome. It was a pleasure. Thank you guys for joining us.
Look for the KnowledgeShare with Dr. Dave podcast on iTunes and Google Play. The KnowledgeShare with Dr. Dave podcast is hosted on grokshare.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Dave, reach out on Twitter at Dr. Dave Info or at KnowledgeShare.
You grokshare.
I grok it and KnowledgeShare every day, every day. Until next time, pursue goodness, share, and learn.